Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Philippians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Let's bow our heads in prayer to gracious Father. We come reverently and humbly before you and thank you for this word, Lord. Because through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, when that life was shed and the very Spirit, Lord, was allowed to leave the confines of that body, it came back upon other sons. And has anointed us with the same Spirit. And as you said, if we have the same Spirit, then the Spirit which raised up Jesus Christ will also quicken these mortal bodies. And we know our body is mortal when it has potential of death. But once it is dead, it is no longer mortal. So we realize, Father, that your word is to quicken us in this flesh, in this life, not waiting for the life hereafter. And Father, we pray for that quickening. And we know that, as John said, that we have an anointing that we might know all things. And so we know that you have come down in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself, so that we might understand who you are, that we might also understand who we are, sons of the living God. And so, Father, we commit, Lord, the opening of thy word tonight. We pray, Father, that you would truly not only bring it to our minds, Father, but bring it into our heart. May it not be a theology, but may it be a relationship. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham said, "Oh people, God bless you, hear me. I can't believe nothing but God's word, and I want it to be my life, everything that I am." I love that. He said, I can't believe nothing but God's word. And I want it to be my life, everything that I am. I want you to do the same. Let your walk, let your talk, let your moves, everything that you do, be in the Word of God. Let the mind of Christ come into you, and that'll pregnate you with the Word. If you don't, if you let the mind of denomination come in, you'll be denominational pregnated. If you let the mind of Christ come in, he can't deny his own Word because he's God. You'll be pregnated with the Word and believe it. I don't care if they put you out, kick you out, run you out, and every door is closed. You'll go just the same. Amen. Whew. I got to hurry now. Beautiful thoughts, beautiful words. From who is this Melchizedek, Brother Bram said? See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, "Oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ." It's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. And you're a new creation in Christ. and your body's becoming subject to the Spirit, try to live a right kind of life. Therefore, our emphasis was upon our bodies becoming subject to the Word of God by the Spirit, and therefore bringing with it eternal life. That's why I say I don't care so much for the doctrine of Christ to be a theology. Because if we have it as a theology, it's a written word, it's just dead. But if it's a life, if it's a relationship, if you can see the relationship between the Father and His firstborn Son, the uniquely born Son, then you'll understand who you are, because we are to be conformed to that same image. In Hebrews 12 and verse 9, Paul said, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Brother Branham, toward the end of his ministry, he told Brother Vale, he said, "All my thoughts are of God." We recall in Isaiah, I believe it was, where Brother Vale read about the servant. He said, "Behold my servant. He's blind to everything but my word. Deaf to everything but my commands." That's the way Jesus was. That's the way William Branham became. They learned obedience by the things that they suffered. In Romans 16 and verse 17, Paul emphasized that this obedience must come from the heart, not from fear. As Martin Luther pointed out, if we do right because we fear the retribution of God, he said, our motives are wrong. As Brother Branham said, I can do anything I want to do because all I want to do is please Him. In Romans 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Obeyed from the heart. In the Greek word, or the Greek word which is used in reference to this word subjection, it's a Greek word hypostasis, or hypotasso. And it means, number one, to arrange under or subjugate or subordinate yourself to. When the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as in the Lord, he's not saying husbands beat your wife down until she's submissive like a horse would be submissive after being beaten. No, he's saying, let your mind become his mind. And from the heart, you're thinking in one accord. To arrange under or subordinate yourself. To subject oneself to obey. And it was a Greek military term meaning to arrange the troops in a division. In a military fashion, under the command of a leader, in non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. You know, we think of, and just watching Adam the other night showing me one of the videos where he was training the horses and training a particular horse. And my father-in-law used to be that way too. He just talked to the animals until he could get him into subjection. He never beat him. He never took a cord to him. He never whipped him. He simply used words to bring subjection. And I think that's the way we ought to be with our own children. Look them in the eye. Talk to them until you've got control of the situation. Like Brother Branham stood there with thousands of people. He said, "I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." When he talked to the bull, remember, he wrote the little book called about love, when love projects. He talked to a raging bull, and in love, that bull sat down. He talked to the bees, a swarm of bees. Those bees turned around. It wasn't his getting a big fly swatter. It wasn't getting self-defensive. It was simply in love doing these things. And the word hupotasso, it means to arrange under or subordinate yourself. It means a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Webster tells us the word burden means to weigh down or to oppress. So we look at the voluntary attitude in light of the attributes that Jesus, the Son of God, showed to His Father. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, He said, "Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Yes. The actual translation in the New International Version is, "Let this attitude King James says, let the mind that was in Christ. It's the same word that can be used as attitude. Let the attitude which was in Christ be in you. You know, we've been preaching now for about 2 years on the spirit of adoption. And we're understanding more and more that Christ Jesus was our pattern. And we've seen the pattern. We've seen the differences between the Father and the Son. We've seen the pattern, which is Christ. He didn't do anything but what the Father showed him to do. He didn't speak anything but what the Father commanded him first to say. He had no doctrine but the Father's, and he even gave up his will. And Brother Brown said his greatest victory was not at Calvary. His greatest victory was in Gethsemane. When he said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. And Brother Branham said, when he stepped into it, that's when he became the bleeding, dying lamb. When God said to Moses, speak and go forward, if Moses had just spoken and didn't step into the waters would not have parted. And the Bible tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, but you've got to step into it. You have to step into it. You have to claim. And I believe it's in Numbers, he said, every step that you take shall be given to you, shall be yours. Every step, every divine promise of God that's in this Bible, you've got to claim it for yourself. A pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. So there's something for you to do. Now tonight I'd like to look at this thought on a voluntary attitude of giving in. And I'd like to continue this thought, or to look more and more into the thought of cooperating, assuming responsibility, and then carrying a burden. I'd like to ask each of us tonight, what is our attitude? What is our attitude toward Christ? What is our attitude toward the Word? What is our attitude toward one another? And first of all, I'll ask you, is your attitude one that's voluntary? Or are you being put through a press like a big cookie cutter, and everybody's trying to be the same? You see, if you're all trying to be the same, it's not a voluntary attitude. It's an attitude of coercion. Does it come from your heart? Do you have this attitude cheerfully? Or is it a drain on you? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives only himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now it would appear here that this portion of Scripture contradicts itself, but it doesn't. Paul is not saying that we should all take on the burden of others and then turn around and say that we should carry our own burden. What he's telling us here is that in the second verse he says, bear ye one another's burden, and that word is baros, which means heaviness or weight. Then in verse 6 he says, every man shall bear his own burden. And he's using the Greek word phordion, which means obligation. Therefore, if we are to have this voluntary attitude of service or servitude to others, we have an obligation to fulfill the obligation of helping others with their burdens. If we say we will help, we had better help. How many people say to others, you know, that are in need, they say, I'd like to help you, but. I'd like to help you, but. When Paul is saying that we have a certain obligation to come through with his voluntary service, and when you volunteer to do something, you had better fulfill your obligation. Although it is voluntary, although it is from your own free will, yet when you commit to it, then follow through with your commitment. And if it seems to be more than you can handle, then do as David said in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. From Brother Ram's sermon called The India Trip Report, he said, that's the same way it is with the Word of God, brethren. It's the way that you're looking at it. If you stand off and look at it from observation and a point of criticism to say this guy hasn't got it and that guy hasn't got it, it won't work. It's to get down and look up too. That brings the results. Then you have a different attitude, and a different attitude towards your brethren, and a different attitude towards the man who's striving for the same thing that you're striving for. You see, it breaks down all barriers then. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, he says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unpretentious love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So what is unfeigned love? It is a real, genuine, sincere, unpretentious love. One that is not disguised with flattery and lip service, but one that is real and from the heart. You may never say a word to the person, but by your actions. Like Brother Branham said, I'd rather you preach me, or I'd rather you live me a sermon than to preach me one. The Christian world is full of hypocrites who say with their lips, but they don't do with their heart and with their hands. From the Great Commission, Brother Branham said, and what about a brother that has made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong. But if he is wrong, well, if we will take him to the throne of God, stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's mortal and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him, when we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty and we all need one another. We all need help from one another, and the best way to do is to pray. You know, the Lord is helping me with certain things. Not always, but I'm moving forward. I'm better than I was years ago in this same aspect. But when I look out and I see the criticisms that come because of the ministry, instead of taking it personally, what I need to look at is, as Brother Branham allowed us to look at it, it's a test to see how we're going to handle it. Brother Branham preached a message called A Reaction to an Action. When people criticized about his family, he said, oh, just forget about it. They said, how can you do that, Brother Branham? That involves you. He said, listen, if I was always looking at everything people say, I'd be stumbling all the time. But if I fix my heart, fix my mind, fix my eyes on the end of the road, you see, and that makes a difference. We look back at the days of Joseph, and we see how when Joseph received his call from God, when Joseph stepped into that call, God began to reveal to him through dreams, visions, revelation, more and more and more about what his call would mean down the road. He didn't fully understand it, but he began to talk to his brothers about it. They thought he was bragging, so they gave him a hard time. Then when his father recognized that call to be true, when he recognized Joseph as an obedient son, he gave him the coat of many colors, letting them know of his adoption attitude. And he presented this young man before his brethren to say, hey, he's special, because he's an obedient son. And so when Joseph entered more and more into that relationship, his father now had trust in him. At the age of 17, he said, I want you to go to Shechem. I want you to see how your brothers are doing. See if they're okay. In other words, make sure they're not all drunk. And he said, I want you to make sure the sheep are okay. Then come back and report to me. Now they probably thought, oh, here comes a snitch again. You know, here comes our brother. In fact, the Bible says that when he was not yet close to them, when he was still way a distance off, the brother said, let's kill him and see whether his dreams come to pass. Then one of the brothers began to recognize his role as the oldest brother. And he said, wait a minute, guys, we can't do that. A little suffering, yeah, maybe a little suffering, but we can't kill him. And so they sold him. And you would look at that in today's light. You'd say to a brother, well, you know, if we had the same situation take place, and brothers actually for money, they sold down the tube, their brother. And you'd say, boy, they're nothing but serpent seed. And yet those 12 brothers are going to be in the New Jerusalem. Paul for 8 years got no help, no assistance from the 12 apostles. They were sitting back there in Jeffersonville, in Jerusalem, pontificating. Who was in the message? Who wasn't in the message? Paul was out doing what he's supposed to do. They didn't even come to visit him. For 8 years he was alone. After 14 years, he finally came to them to check up his revelation. And yet those 12 apostles will be in the gates of the New Jerusalem. So sometimes when we think we've got to figure out, it all comes down to this. When Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Then he said again, Peter, do you love me? And I'm sure Peter at this time thought, well, I just told him I love him. And he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. A third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Now, you got to think of what's going on in Peter's mind at this time. And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Then Peter saw John right behind them walking. And he said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, what is it to thee if he lives until I come back? Follow thou me. In other words, get your eyes off your brothers. Get your eyes on me. That's what it's all about. That's what the mind of Christ is all about. Jesus didn't have his mind on Judas, knowing all those years what Judas would do. Jesus didn't have his mind on the folly of the apostles, and John and James were jesting over who's going to become at Jesus' right hand, fussing over who could sit at his right hand when he came into his kingdom. Jesus must have looked at them and looked at the folly of their immaturity. But just as you do when you look at your little children and you look at their immaturity, you don't disown them because they're young and immature. You work with them. You pray with them. You do what you can to move them ahead, move them along. And so Peter says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So Brother Branham said from the Great Commission, what about a brother that has made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong. But if he is wrong, well, if we will just take him to the throne of God, stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing that he's immortal, and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. Sometimes we've got too much Calvinism in our minds. And we think, you know, everything's so cut and dry, cut and dry, cut and dry. And yet Brother Branham said, not only in this place but others, he said, the attitude you take toward a person could determine their eternal destination. And you think, well, how is that possible? Well, the attitude that Jesus took toward you determined your eternal destination. And if we are Messiahs, then we must reflect the same attitude. You see, not cutting, not defensive, but keeping focused. He said, maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. And when we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty. And we all need help one from another. And the best way to do is pray. Not argue. Pray. From Galatians 5 and verse 13, he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Didn't Brother Branham say, the evidence of eternal life is that you live for one another? He said eternal life is living for others. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 tells us, finally, be ye all of one mind. How is that? Having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Not pitiful as he's pitiful, but pitiful, full of pity, full of mercy, full of grace. How often we can scrutinize and judge people. And yet Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. Now that doesn't mean that you don't walk and stand for the word. But he said, judge not according to outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, if you can get into that man's moccasins and walk a mile in them, maybe then you can judge correctly. That's why the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, not the actions, but the thoughts and the intentions. Sometimes our intentions are right, but we're just not equipped to let it come out the way that we want it to come out. Now, I can put up both hands and say amen to that. Sometimes you try to do right and you fall on your face. Sometimes you try to say the right thing and the person gets upset you're talking to. And you can't understand why they're getting upset. I'm just trying to show them that I'm with them. I'm trying to help. Well, maybe that's just our inability or our lack of wisdom to understand how. The best thing to do is just let alone and just pray. In 1 John 3, verse 13, he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know not, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So what are deed? What is a deed? John, what's a deed? In deed and in truth.
I'm kind of on the spot here. A deed. I know a deed to a house is like a title you own. A deed is, I guess, what you do.
Sure. It's your actions. Not just words. Words are cheap. He didn't say if you talk in the light as he is in the light. He said if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Too many people talk this, talk, you know, let's talk the word, let's talk the word, let's talk the word. And Brother Bram said, how do you apply the token? He said, he didn't say talk about it. He said, get into it. Let it abide in you. If my word abides in you, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you can say what you will. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because he keepeth his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. How simple. Didn't Jesus say you could sum up all the commandments in one? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. From the message, Seeing God, Brother Bram said, and brothers and sisters, I thought this morning, just talk to you from my heart. There's not too many doors open for me, and I am not holding this against my brethren, not at all. But I believe sometimes that it's just like I said, the people take the wrong attitude and they lean this way and that way with it. And it causes confusion among the brethren. So you see, people can take the things that you say and put their own motives into what you're saying. Brother Brown said that was apparently what was happening with him. He was from the heart trying to help the people, and yet the people were taking the words and causing division, causing confusion because of it. In Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came, and he said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and tear them up, or gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Don't get frantic. Don't allow yourself to get caught up into wrong attitudes. Just sit back. Let them grow together. At the time of the harvest, That'll make sure. One in the bed, two in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? From works that I do bear witness of me, Brother Branham said, after all, I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. That's right. Think about that. I would rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. From where I think Pentecost failed, Brother Branham said, when you've really been sealed by the Holy Spirit, love divine follows you. And from Believest Thou This, he said, used to be a long time ago when the neighbor got sick or something, we went over and cut his corn, cut him some wood if it was wintertime. And today the neighbor can die and you don't even know it till you read it in the paper. That's right. No friendship among one another anymore. That's awful. Love. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, said Jesus in Matthew 24th chapter. That's true. From questions and answers, Brother Ramstead, I remember years ago, you always heard them talk about the sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore. Not a bit more. But then it was fresh. God was calling his church. I've seen them sob and cry and lay on the altar all night long. I've went to their homes, and you could hear them when they come up just in their bedchamber, men and women crying, oh God. You see them walk through the church, and I'd see the piano start playing, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, and the tears flowing down there, you know, and Brother Branham sniffles. And walk into this church, then walk down to another church, and you hear them. There's a precious fountain. Oh God, save my boy, save my daughter. She's lost, Lord. Please, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus said, predicted that the love, because the love of many, the love would fail. That because of iniquity, that iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See, it would grow cold, it would go away. The love is dying away, and what they got into is just a form. From questions and answers, he said, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus said he predicted this, that love, because the love of many, the love would fail. Because iniquity would abound, the love would fail. It would grow cold, it would go away. The love is dying away. And they got just a form left. And from thirsting for life, he said, oh God, if we have to take every miracle out of the church, if we have to take all the pipe organs out and the plush pews and give us back to that godly love, that brotherly love among the people in fellowship. If we have to do all that, take it all back to that again, life. Oh, life. And from He Cares for You, he said, you know the Bible speaks that there'd be no love in the last days, but just amongst the elect people. That's right. The Scripture speaks that the husband would be against his wife, the wife against husband, children against parents. Just among the elected of the Lord will there be any love left. And from the fifth seal, he said, they wanted to get, well, you know, that like that little cliques will rise up in the church, you know. You pastors, you know, see? They say birds of a feather. But if we're born again, brethren, now, that's not the attitude to take, you see. No. Now, if we see something wrong in our brother, let us pray and keep it before God and love that man till we bring him right into the presence of God. That's the way to do it. You know, Jesus said there will be weeds in there because Jesus said there would be. But don't pull them up. You'll take the wheat with it, see? Just let them alone. He will do. Let him do the segregating when the time comes, see? Let it all grow together. You see the attitude he's giving us? Not put our nose up in the air and say, well, you know what? We've got the teacher. Put our attitude, well, we've got the presence. We believe the truth. We understand the message. Yeah, we believe the Godhead correctly. That's theology, brother. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what Brother Branham is telling us here. If you're right, so what? Pray for your brother who's wrong. Not cast him out. That's God's doing. Jesus said, all that the Father has implanted will be rooted out. It's not for you and I to root out. It's you and I to love them in. Brother Branham always made the circle bigger. From God and His people, Brother Branham said, now before I read the scripture, your attitude. Now, you help me tell others. I won't speak after tonight, but your attitude towards the gift will determine your healing. Now, it's scientifically proven that God is with us people. His picture is here to prove. How many have seen the picture? I guess this was showed here tonight. You can have one. I guess they're here. Now, and that's it used to be that they'd say, well, God can't be proved scientifically. The old skeptic that said that can't get by with it no more now, because it's scientifically proved that there is a supernatural being. And that supernatural being is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His Spirit. And now those things, if someone might wonder why those things were said, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in our midst. That's right. And from Matthew, the 24th chapter. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man will deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. From the angel of the Lord, Brother Bramson, tonight I want to speak to you about the angel of the Lord. Now, too, it's just as true, friends, as I can't make you to believe. You see, I can only speak what's the truth, and your attitude towards it will determine the success it'll be for you. I have no power to operate. And from 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of love, or your work of faith and your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And what is he saying there? Remembering without ceasing your work of love. What is the word of? It shows possession. It's an acronym, out from. Your work that is produced and characterized by the faith which is yours. And your labor, which is produced and characterized by your love. And your patience, which is produced and characterized and comes out from the hope that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. Notice Paul speaks of works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. The word of means out from. And therefore we can read as your works which spring forth or spring out from your faith, your revelation, and your labor which comes forth as a result of your capacity to love. It is a love which produces it. Love, then, is the energizing power. From exploits of faith, Brother Bram said, how do you do, young man? You believe? If I be God's servant and he's here, his presence, which I'm sure that you're conscious of something. Now, it's your attitude, what you think it is, that'll determine what you get. You come to church looking to hear from God, you're bound to hear from God. Brother Brown said, a church of people that come prayed up, they're bound to hear from heaven. In Galatians 5, verse 6, he said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which is revelation, which worketh by love. Do we seek revelation so that we can be above the next guy? We can know more than he can, so we can put him down? As Brother Gillis told me years ago, if you know this much more than the next guy, you got power over the guy. And that is true. If you're carnal, you use your little bit of knowledge to hammer somebody down. But what then is your motive? What's your intent? Notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word for worketh is a Greek word energio, and it means energizes. Our faith is energized by love, Paul says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. effectually worketh, that energizes in you, you that believe. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh, which energizes all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh, all of these are energized, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Who then operates the gifts? God does. Like I said before, this light has the same electric current that's turning that fan. That fan has the same electric current that's turning that's putting out the light there. That light there has the same electricity that's coming through this microphone, that's coming through the speakers, that's coming through the heater. You see, it's the same energy, just different vessels that God has that are being used to manifest a different operation, but it's the same energy doing it. And the same God worketh all in all. He giveth gifts to the church. Some are apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors. And he has nine gifts he's given to the Spirit. Administration is one. Praying is one. Building up and lifting up in the faith. You see, God has equipped every single child with some manifestation, some attributes that were in the firstborn son. Find what it is that's in you and just let go. And let God, because Brother Brown said the greatest gift of all is to get yourself out of the way. From James 5 and verse 6, he said, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. For the effectual, the energized, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what then energizes your prayer for one another? Love is the energio of God. And it is by love that your prayers are energized with the power of God behind them. From contending for the faith, Brother Rand said, he's the same Lord Jesus. You notice his ministry. He only raised three from the dead in his ministry here on earth. He raised up Jairus' daughter, the woman's son that was buried, and Lazarus. Three is confirmation. He could have done more if the Father would have showed him. Now let us be reverent and let us take the right attitude towards the Lord Jesus. For be it assured that your attitude towards any divine gift will determine what results you get from it. And from expectations, Brother Brown said, I just want to talk to the lady just a moment, and then that's going to be up to you, whatever you think about it. Now, you have to know it's supernatural. I'm sad to say some of you don't believe it, but it's so anyhow, see? Now, you can't hide yourself now, see? He's done anointed me now. See? But that's right. But you'll see then, it's your attitude towards it will determine your destination. That's right. You see, if it's the attitude that the people take toward the gift that he had will determine their eternal destination, do you see why he strove so hard to say the right words? Not to be cutting, not to be harsh, not to be condemning. You see why he went out of his way to be such a gallant soul, so gentle and meek. Because the attitude he took toward them could determine their eternal destination. Because if he blew them away, he'd have to answer for it. From Hear Ye Him, he said, it isn't the size of the text, it's the contents it holds. It's what it will determine the eternal destination of every man that hears it and his attitude towards it. Sometimes we can't go by the size of things. And from discernment of the Spirit, he said, we are here this morning, Father, gathered for no other purpose but to know and to study to know, rather the will of God and what we must do to make Christ real to the people of this generation, knowing surely that in the day of the judgment we will be brought face to face with this generation, and being ministers we will be judges. And the people to which we have spoken to, their attitude towards the word that we bring them will determine their eternal destination. Therefore, Lord, in that day we will be a judge for or against the generation that we have preached to. And from the seven church ages, he said, and may every one of the laity act tonight as if this was the last sermon that they'd ever hear. God, take away all folly. Make us sincere, knowing that we must answer at the day of God someday. And our attitude towards him and his word now will determine our eternal destination. That's why every time I approach this pulpit, I approach it as though, Lord, could this be the last time I ever have to address this flock here and those that are listening around the world? What am I going to say if this is my last time to say it? Help me to be true to thy word. And may I say it in a way which should be salty. And when I haven't, forgive me, Father, and help me to say the right things the right way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we ask that your guidance be upon our hearts and our lips and our minds. May our minds be filled with thy word. And may the mind that was in Christ, the attitude that was in Jesus Christ, be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.